Amen. Now, I remember reading this chapter as a little boy, and when I'd read through this chapter, I would think, did God really need to tell us all of these things? You'd look at this list, and you're like, this is so gross. This is so disgusting and abominable. Like, why in the world did God have to give us such a list as this? But we're going to find out this morning why God gave us such a list. But look at verse number one again. The Bible says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, I am the Lord your God. After the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein ye dwelt, shall ye not do. And after the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you, shall ye not do. Neither shall ye walk in their ordinances. Ye shall do my judgments and keep mine ordinances to walk therein. I am the Lord your God. So the chapter starts out by God trying to explain to us, hey, you need to not be like all the heathen nations. You need to follow my commandments. And in fact, without the Bible, we wouldn't know what's right and wrong. How would we know if something is right or wrong without God's word? How would we know clean from unclean? An argument posited by Christians to atheists saying, hey, if atheism's true, there is no morality. There is no right and wrong. We don't really know if something's clean or unclean. It's all relative at that point, isn't it? If you were to say something is clean or unclean, it just becomes relevant. You know, my wife says, hey, is that shirt clean? Well, I've only worn it four times this week. That's kind of relative, isn't it? If you say, to some people, that might be an abomination, right? To other people, they're like, oh, man, that's great. I can wear that another four times this week. You say Taco Bell bathrooms are clean. Well, that's relative. To the porta potty, I guess. To the bar. But, you know, the bathrooms in my house are great. They're excellent. Taco Bell seems like an abomination to our house. Okay, so cleanliness, uncleanness starts becoming relative to the situation. How do you determine what's right or wrong? You have to have a standard. You have to have something tell you what is clean or unclean, what is right or wrong. Otherwise, you don't know. And they're leaving the Egyptians. They're going from the Egyptians. And God wants to explain to them, hey, not only were the Egyptians wicked, other people were wicked too. The Canaanites are just as wicked. Don't leave Egypt and think, oh, Egypt was wicked, but the Canaanites, they're great. They got it going on. This is what America is like today, where they say, hey, the Democrats are wicked as hell. And you're like, yeah, of course. And they're like, so the Republicans, look, they're both wicked, my friend. It's not like, oh, this one's great. You say, hey, California's wicked. So is Texas, my friend. Hey, you know, India, it's wicked with all its, you know, idolatry and its Hinduism and all these false pagan worship. Guess what? America's wicked too. Amen. Why? Because we got to compare it to God's standard. It's not relative morality today. It's not just pick and choose if something's clean or unclean. No, God is going to set the standards for us. God is going to tell us what is right and wrong. And that's going to help you determine and realize if something's dirty, if something's disgusting, if something is wrong today. What they really need is the Bible to explain to them what is right, what is wrong. Am I doing good? Is it clean? Now, we've heard some great preaching this week on the need for truth. The truth versus, you know, other agendas. Versus, you know, America's agenda or other people's agendas. And I'm not going to sit here and hammer that point. I'm going to get really specific about some of these truths. And look at this chapter at verse 22. It says, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination.
Amen.
So whatever I think or you think or America thinks doesn't matter, because God already told us what it is. It's dirty. It's gross. It's disgusting. It's filthy.
Amen.
Because that's what God told us. You say, what's abomination, Pastor Shelley? It's kind of a bigger word. If you look in the dictionary, it says hate coupled with disgust. It's not only do you hate it, it's disgusting too. It's hatred with disgust. It's saying, hey, a man with a man or a woman with a woman, you should hate that with disgust.
That's right.
And the way God created mankind is he put the laws of God into our heart. You know, a young child doesn't even need to be told that it's disgusting. They automatically think it's disgusting.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's why there's an agenda to try and brainwash children into thinking this is normal, into trying to desensitize them and destroy their conscience and to defile them and to make them as dirty as possible so that you think that Taco Bell bathrooms are clean. So that you think that the Republicans are righteous. So that you think that Texas is so great. Well, we need to find out what's right and wrong from the Bible, my friend. And there's a lot of abominations that are listed in the Bible. In fact, it's mentioned over 150 times in your Bible. So we don't have time to go through every single abomination. But in this chapter specifically, we have a lot of abominations, and I would categorize them in the perversion category. There's a lot of abominations that the Bible tells us about that would be perversion from what God has created. Let's look at another one. Verse 23, neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion. Defile not ye yourselves in any of these things. For in all these, the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you. And the land is defiled. Therefore, I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it. And the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants. Now, again, when I read this, I just thought, man, they were really sick and disgusting back then. Like I would just think, like, what kind of weird, perverted nation was this? But you have to realize the Bible tells us the thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new. It hath been already of old time which was before us. So when we look at these disgusting, filthy, perverted nations in the Bible, the reality is that's going to still continue to happen. And it's happened throughout history. And look, it's happening before our eyes, literally. And this nation is so much more disgusting than I ever thought it could ever get to. That's why the title of the sermon this morning is The United States of Abomination. The United States of Abomination. And look, I don't have time to go through every single one. I'm just going to hit some of the key points here. But if you still think that America's great after this sermon, you weren't listening. Or you're just brain dead, something. But look at verse 26. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not commit any of these abominations, neither any of your own nation, nor any stranger that sojourneth among you. For all these abominations have the men of the land done, which before you, and the land is defiled. That the land spew not you out also when ye defile it, as it spewed out the nations that were before you. For whosoever shall commit any of these abominations, even the souls that commit them, shall be cut off from among their people. Therefore shall ye keep mine ordinance, that ye commit not any one of these abominable customs which were committed before you, and that ye defile not yourselves therein. I am the Lord your God. Now, in this chapter, we kind of hit a couple topics, right? What was the first one we hit? Faggots. Disgusting, filthy fags. You say, I don't like that word. Well, I hate fags with disgust. They're abominable. Amen. And I'd rather sit here and rip on fags than let one sit right next to you.
Amen.
And look, Baptist churches all over this country are just letting them flood in the doors.
Right.
Broadway Baptist Church is the number one most faggot-friendly church in the entire area. It's a Baptist church. You would think it'd be like the United Methodists or something, or like the Catholic Church. Baptist churches are being infiltrated by this disgusting, abominable filth. And these queers and faggots out here would love to come in too. But if you look at our nation, I mean, it's just committing this abomination and it's growing. California is the number one as far as number of homosexuals in our nation. California has 1.3 million openly known faggots. 1.3 million. That is so many. That's so disgusting. Texas is number two. 579,000. Now, from a population percentage, California is at 4.8%. Texas is at 3.6%. A half a million fags. That's why it feels like you go outside, you just see them everywhere. It's disgusting. Because it's about, you know, two out of every 100 people or one out of 50. So you go to the mall where you see 500 people, you're pretty much going to see 10, 20 fags running around. And unfortunately, because of the way people dress today, it feels like there's 100. It's like, what in the world? But it's on the rise. And, you know, in the District of Columbia, because the government's there, it picks up that percentage to 8.6%. That's a lot. 8.6% is disgusting, filthy fat. And this is the ones that are like admitting it, okay? This is conservative statistics of what they just know it can be proven. Now, if you look at our nation of the last several years, it just keeps increasing. In 2012, supposedly the LGBTQ community was 3.5%. The next year, 3.6. The next year, 3.7. The next year, 3.9. The next year, 4.1. The next one, 4.5. Not only is it increasing, the amount that it's increasing by is increasing. It's getting more disgusting, more filthy. I mean, at what point, at what percentage do Christians wake up and say, hey, there's a problem?
Right.
I mean, does it need to be 45%?
No.
Does it need to be like Lot, where it's 100% and they're just beating at the door and he still doesn't get it? He's offering him his daughters, my friend. That's how stupid and idiotic he is. He's literally offering his daughters to sodomites. What kind of a weird, transformed mind you have then? Look, LGBT is everywhere. You say, hey, out there they say you hate them, you want them to put to death. You're right.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
At least they told the truth one time. They need to at least spell my name right, you know.
Amen.
I want to be known. Yeah. Shelley, S-H-E-L-L-E-Y, I hate fags, go to hell.
Amen.
Get my name right. Now, in verse 15, we learned about another abominable thing, bestiality. God couples fags with beastophiles right next to each other. You say, people get offended. Oh, that's different. No, it's the same. Look, when you're a fag, you just become a beast and then just lying with another beast. I mean, it's just all the same filth, abomination. Look, they can't tell what's up. They don't know what's the toilet and what food is and what a person is. They can't tell what's going on. They're so abominable. And bestiality, you would think like, who's doing that? Did you know in 2016, there was 10 states where it's not even illegal? In 2017, it at least dwindled down to 8. But even now, there's still 5 states in which bestiality is not even illegal in the United States. Kentucky. Hawaii. Not even that far from us, New Mexico. Disgusting. West Virginia and Wyoming. They have no laws against being a filthy, disgusting pervert. Now, you'd say, bestiality, Pastor Shelley, that's never going to happen in America. I never thought that a guy would wear a dress and go to the library and read a book to a child.
Right.
And people would think that's normal.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? And look, it's coming. And you say, how do you know it's coming? Well, everything that Hollywood does is just a precursor to what's going to end up happening in this nation. All a bunch of faggots on the TV, and then all of a sudden it's just in the culture.
Right.
And you know what they're doing? Disney Channel. You know what Disney's doing? It's been constantly promoting pedophilia and bestiality for decades.
That's right.
Here's a movie called Brother Bear 2. Hope you don't know what I'm saying. Brother Bear 2. It's where a boy turns into a bear and is still in love with his friend that's a girl. So he interrupts the wedding between two humans, this bear, because it's in love with this girl. But they can't be together exactly because it's not normal to a bear. And then it ends in success. These two bears get married before a whole group of people. So it started out with two people getting married. And then it ends like a bunch of people watching two bears get married. It's disgusting. They're letting children watch this filth. And look, the undertones and the subliminal messages, it's hard to even say it's a subliminal anymore. All the things that are suggested, and is, you say, oh, that's brand new. What about Beauty and the Beast?
Yeah, uh-oh. That's right. Yeah,
Beauty and the Beast. What did it say in verse 15? And if a man lie with a beast, isn't that interesting? A curse from a wicked queen on some king turns him into a beast. It looks like a weird, you know, devil dog.
Yeah.
It's got horns coming out of its head. It's
wicked.
Freaky looking. And it ends with a woman professing her love for this beast. But you let your kids watch that. Oh, it's got a teapot. It's so cute. It's so innocent. Look, it's filthy. It's disgusting. It's abominable. When God looks at that, he says, that's wicked.
Amen.
Don't be like the Canaanites. Don't be like the Egyptians today. Why do you want to let your children think it's normal to be with a beast?
Right.
Look, imagination, that's fine. But why is Disney Channel and why are all these movies constantly mixing humans with animals? You don't think there's an agenda there, my friend? Why is it always a weird animal that has the talk? Why can't it be just normal boy and girl or man and woman? Why can't they just put the dog to death like a normal person? No, they gotta love the dog and marry the dog. Little Mermaid. I mean, what? We don't watch those kind of movies. We just watch Disney. Because it just promotes bestiality. It just promotes faggotry. It just promotes everything that's wrong with the world. Look, a mermaid, what the heck is that? I don't even know. But she just wants to be a woman and then transforms into a woman, but she can't talk. It's stupid.
Yeah, that's
right. Why? Hey, because God told me it's an abomination for a man to lie with a beast. He didn't say, well, but maybe it's a cartoon. Then it's not, it's cool. It's still not cool, my friend. How about this one in the same chapter, verse 17? If a man shall take his sister. Isn't that just like disgusting? I mean, wouldn't you just instantly be like, gross? But you know, incest is on the rise in their country too. In fact, here I looked at an article. It says, is incest between adults a crime? Almost all states criminalize incest between adult relatives. Some legal scholars have argued that incest laws as applied to adults should be rethought. Put those people to death. Rhode Island repealed its criminal incest statute in 1989. And New Jersey law imposes no criminal penalties for incest where both parties are adults, although marriages are still criminal. So now, as long as you don't get married, it's okay. In Rhode Island. And in fact, the age of consent in Rhode Island is 16. 16. They just keep lowering the age of consent. In Ohio, it's also legal as long as it's not a parent-child relationship. All other incest, just open season. Whatever you want to do. At least in Texas, it's still a 2 to 20 year in prison fine up to $10,000. So at least in Texas, it's still... But you know what? Texas is going to follow suit. All the states are going to follow suit because they're the United States of Abomination. They're always united together. Whatever California starts, whatever New York starts, whatever Rhode Island starts, hey, it's just a ticking time bomb for our state too, my friend. It's disgusting. It's filthy. In 2010 in Seattle, a convicted cocaine smuggler was arrested for having a farm where visitors could be carnal with animals. They found children on that farm too. And they found 375 pounds of cocaine, valued at $34 million. Look, the same people that are a fag are the pedophiles. And the same pedophiles are the beastophiles. Look, there's nothing that they won't do. There's nothing that they won't defile themselves with. They don't know what's clean or unclean. They've rejected all morality. Their conscience has been seared. The Bible says, under the pure, all things are pure, but under them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure.
Amen.
They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient and unto every good work reprobate.
Amen.
There's so many people, they're disgusting and filthy. You know what they do? They make movies on the Disney Channel.
Yeah.
You know, like the most well-known, like openly feel. Well, because they're constantly being pumped full of filth and abomination and debauchery. Look, a normal child will find this stuff repulsive. You have to brainwash them into thinking that it's normal. Oh, what about Pinocchio? 1940. You know, Pinocchio has a whole section about child trafficking in that movie. It's so disgusting. They have this scene where they have two foxes, some wolves, sitting and they're talking to the coachman and they're laughing. They say, an actor's life is for me. Oh, he's so tricked. He fell for it, hook, line, and sinker. Just pointing to the fact that all these child actors have been preyed upon for decades. And the coachman, he just laughs and laughs. And the foxes say, well, what happens, you know, when they find him? He says they never come back. He turns into the devil and laughs in their faces to the wolves. The wolves are scared of the devil. Then you see two boys. One's Pinocchio. He's not a real boy. Some weird freak, again, because we have to be freaky in America, right? And the other boy, he's trying to be a man because that's what they told him. He starts drinking alcohol, and then he literally turns into a donkey. They have all these boys in cages that have been turned into donkeys on an island called Pleasure Island. This is what's coming to you from Disney. Right. And you have it on the shelf. And you want to pop it in for little Johnny and Susie to watch what kind of filthy, disgusting, abominable, pedophile, sex trafficking garbage. Amen. How in the world? You say, oh, it's Disney. It's so great. It's filthy. It's abominable. The United States of Abomination. Little boys screaming mama on Pleasure Island. Oh, and then we have a guy named who? Jeffrey Epstein. With his little island. I wonder where he got such ideas. Come on. And he didn't kill himself, all right? The nicknames of his island are Island of Sin. Pedophile Island. You think of a main celebrity or politician, they all went there. All of them. All the disgusting, filthy, wicked reprobates in our country. And look, our country just keeps pushing the limit of filth. And other nations, hey, they're filthy too. Don't hear me wrong. Did you know that incest is legal, completely legal, in Brazil, China, India, France, and Spain? There's plenty of other nations too. I'm just highlighting a couple for you. You can just marry your sister, marry your dad in Brazil, China, India. Did you know... one of the reasons why God gave us such a statute is because of DNA. If you're an identical twin, did you know you share 100% of your DNA? It's exact match. And when you have identity that close, when you produce a child, in fact, they're more likely to be prone to some kind of a disease or deformity because the recessive genes will match, and whatever recessive genes match will end up in causing all kinds of problems. A parent offspring is a 50%. Full siblings, 50%. A third or quarter sibling or a sibling cousin is 37.5%. A grandparent, grandchild is 25%. Half siblings are 25%. Aunt, uncle, nephew, niece is 25%. Double first cousins, 25%. I don't know what that is. I don't want to know. First cousins, 12.5%. So he's saying, hey, you have this high proclivity to all kinds of deformities and garbage, and our nation just keeps promoting this constant perversion and filth. That's why it says in Leviticus chapter 20, flip the page, look at verse number 22. Ye shall therefore keep all my statutes and all my judgments and do them, that the land whither I bring you to dwell therein spew you not out. And ye shall not walk in the manners of the nation which I cast out before you, for they committed all these things, and therefore I abhorred them. You know, the sad reality is America has committed all of these abominations, all of them. And look, I'm highlighting for you the things that we know that are in the open. I don't even want to know what's going on in the dark. And look, you shouldn't either. We should be simple concerning evil. We have plenty on the surface to know. Stay far away. I don't want to know the depths of Satan. I don't want to know what's going on Pleasure Island with Jeffrey Epstein. I don't want to know what's going on with these filthy, disgusting reprobates. I mean, it'd be nice to know at least who the list was so we could just start lining them up and put bullets in their head. Yeah. We already knew that. You know, 600 to 800,000 women and children and men are bought and sold across international borders every year. Forced labor and being carnal with people. It says the actual number of victims is probably estimated between 2 to 4 million. 50% of victims are estimated to be children. 1.5 million victims are in the United States. The United States got half. Here's a quote. We have a major issue here in the United States. Geoff Rogers, co-founder of the United States Institute Against Human Trafficking, said in an interview with Fox News, the United States is the number one consumer. So we are driving the demand as a society. And these are American kids, American born, 50 to 60% of them coming out of foster care industry. Wow. You say, hey, why do these fags want to get married? So they can take kids and hurt them.
That's right.
You say, hey, are you for adoption? Well, not when fags are taking over. Not when fags are getting a hold of these kids and hurting them. Cursed children is what the Bible talks about. People that just have a horrible life. They just get abandoned by their parents and then taken advantage by all kinds of filthy, disgusting, abominable reprobates. That's why I read Genesis chapter number 18. Turn your Bible to Genesis chapter number 18. It actually makes a little bit of sense.
Yeah.
You say, oh, why do you get so mad about this stuff? Well, you know what? Because I don't hate children.
Right.
You know, I don't hate my country and I don't hate my nation and I don't hate the innocent. And God doesn't either. And when God looked down upon the earth at this time, he said, it's filthy, it's disgusting, it's abominable. And it's way worse when he looks down to us. But look what it says in verse number 20. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me. And if not, I will know. How many children have just cried their eyes out every single day, every single night, because of how filthy and abominable this nation is, and nobody cares? How can a pastor not get up and preach against this filth?
Amen.
And let them come into the church? You're disgusting.
That's right.
All these cries are coming into God's ears, and he's mad at you, and he's mad at our nation, and he says it's filthy and it's disgusting. How can you not love children today? But you can't go to a church and hear any of this.
Right.
Nobody cares.
Right.
YouTube's going to love this sermon. Look at verse number 1 and 19. And there came two angels of Sodom at even. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them. And he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early, and go on your ways. And they said, nay, we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him, and entered into his house, and he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young. All the people from every quarter. Say, hey, what's America going to be like? What do the pedophiles want? They're so depraved. Just, they've defiled everything. Two visitors, let's get him too. Look, you need somebody to actually stand up and say it's filthy, it's disgusting, it's abominable, but we have a bunch of Obadiah cave Baptists today. You need to come out of the cave. If they can come out of the closet, why can't you come out of the cave and preach against it? Because I know where it's headed. I know where the end thereof is. They don't really want the children. They want all of them. All of them. All the people from every quarter. Now, I am going to keep repeating the statistics until all fags are dead. So I'm going to just keep repeating them, all right? There's a report done in 1987. Self-reported crimes of non-incarcerated paraphiliacs. You say, what's that, freaks? The people who read in Leviticus chapter 18. When a pedophile attacks non-family members and they're only female, the average number of victims in the United States is 19.8. The average pedophile self-reporting says he hurts 19.8 children. That's the average. When it's male, 150.2. That's the average number of victims. You say, where is that coming from? The Catholic Church?
Yeah, that's right.
Just altar boy after altar boy. Look, these people, they can never be satisfied. They can never be placated. That's why in Romans 1 it said they're implacable.
Right.
When they're a bestophile, 120 victims. They categorized them and they said, how many times would this person hurt their victim? Because we have 150 victims. How many times does such these people hurt them? When they're a homo, the average number of acts per victim, 1,850 acts. You think God's looking down? Oh, God bless America. Land of the sick, disgusting, filthy freaks. God's going to rain fire and brimstone on this nation.
Right.
It's ready to vomit. This nation is just like, it's just ready. I mean, we don't need any more. You say, is it going to get worse? It doesn't need to get worse. NBC News. A Love, Simon spinoff series is in the works at Disney. The Walt Disney Company planned streaming video service hailed by critics for its LGBTQ inclusivity. Love, Simon is a 2018 coming-of-age film about a closeted gay teen growing up in the suburbs of Atlanta. The film, which earned nearly $67 million worldwide, was based on Becky Albertalli's young adult novel. Oh, that's great. Disney just keeps putting out more filth and more... And look, that's just the tip of the iceberg, my friend. I don't keep up with it. All I have to do is just type in fag and Disney. It's just like trillions of results. That's why it says in Leviticus or Deuteronomy 23, I'm going to have you go Leviticus 8, 11. Go to Leviticus 11. Deuteronomy 23 says, thou shalt not bring the hire of a whore or the price of a dog into the house of the Lord thy God for any vow. For even both these are abomination unto the Lord thy God. Look, fags are not welcome in this church.
Amen. That's right.
Put a bullet in your head.
That's right.
You say, I don't like that kind of preaching. Well, guess what? Every other church, you're going to have no problem with that.
That's right.
Never. Zero. Look, there's independent, fundamental, King James only, soul-winning Baptist churches that I'm like trying to recommend, and they're letting fags in the building. Done recommending that church.
Yeah, right.
What in the world? I mean, like, how do you not know what's clean and unclean anymore? You must be watching too many Disney Channel movies. You must be watching Beauty and the Beast way too much. You must be watching Love, Simon, or whatever this filthy, nonsensical stuff. You can't be just reading the Bible every single day and constantly thinking that, because you want to just flip. Where do you want to go? Do you want to go to Jeremiah? Same story. Want to go to Ezekiel? Same story. Want to go to Isaiah? Same story. Want to go to Psalms? Same story. Want to go to Romans? Same story. Want to go to Jude? Same story. I mean, where do you want me to drop the Bible open and preach this doctrine from? Because it's all over.
Right.
I'm just touching the places that nobody else wants to touch, because it's the fire-breathing Baptist Fellowship, Leviticus.
Amen.
All right? There's some other abominations in the Bible, all right? We can't get to all of them. I would love to. But here's the one where, you know, we always get attacked for, right? We get attacked for, well, you know, what about all these, you know, bacon burgers you're eating? You're eating swine's flesh, you know. What about all that, you know, shrimp cocktail? And you know what? I don't like shrimp, but whatever. You know, it's fine. Eat it. I don't care. They want to attack us for that, right? Leviticus 11, look at verse 9. These shall ye eat of all that are in the waters, whatsoever hath fins and scales in the waters and the seas and in the rivers, them shall ye eat. And all that have not fins and scales in the seas and in the rivers, of all that move in the waters and of any living thing which is in the waters, they shall be an abomination unto you. Oh, Pastor Shelley, you know, you're eating shellfish, you're an abomination. Well, first of all, I'm allergic, so I don't, all right? But even if I wasn't, I could eat it all day long, and I have eaten it. And I'll eat bacon until the cows come home, all right? If we run out of cows, I'll still eat bacon, all right? And if we run out of pigs, then I'll try to make bacon out of beef. You know, you can make like beef bacon, right? Whatever. Yeah, anything. Just bring on the meat. Why? Because the New Testament told me explicitly that that's no longer an abomination.
Right.
And before the law came, it was an abomination. So there must have been a spiritual significance, huh? Go to Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs 29. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 4, for every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. Now, God uses carnal truths to expound spiritual truths constantly throughout the Bible. And he's saying, hey, I want you to know there's some beasts that are cleaner than others. Well, praise God, in the New Testament, all I have to do is pray and it's clean.
Amen.
Just say, thanks, Lord. This bacon looks great. I'm ready to eat it. I'm ready to tear into it. All right. Just make sure you pray. Sanctified by the word of God. I mean, it cleans things. Now, there was a spiritual significance when you study your Bible. That spiritual significance is the fact that God didn't really care about you eating certain meats. He wanted to show the difference between the saved and the unsaved. That is the point of that statute. And let me tell you what, that still applies today. That didn't change. Obviously, the dietary law changed, but that was because it signified something spiritual. Fags didn't spiritualize anything. They're just still gross and disgusting and go straight into hell.
Amen.
Their spiritual significance is the fact that they're like a dog. There was their carnal truth. And you know what? I don't like dogs and I don't like fags. So there you go. Proverbs, look at verse 27. An unjust man is an abomination to the just, and he that is upright in the way is abomination to the wicked. They're an abomination, my friend.
Yeah, that's right.
They are wicked. And guess what? They look at us and they say abomination.
Yeah.
It's still the same. That unclean beast out there that's disgusting and filthy and vile, thinking about homosexual fantasies with David, what kind of weird freak pervert are you? Wanting to think those kind of disgusting. Oh, yeah, his mind's defiled.
That's right.
Because that's how he reads the Bible. He doesn't understand how two men could actually just be friends, could actually just like each other. He has to think that it's perverted and gross because that's what he thinks about men.
Yeah, that's right.
Go to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7. We're covering abomination. But today, the United States, it doesn't want to make the distinction between the saved and the unsaved. They want to be non-denominational. Let's bring the Catholic in and the Methodist. Salvation and worship God together. I'm not going to go down to the New International Version and worship God together. That's an abominable book, my friend. That's disgusting and gross. And the United States is trying to turn Christianity into one ecumenical service. I'm not going to have it. This church is going to be different. We're independent. Why? So we don't get so corrupted and filthy and disgusting like the rest of the world's getting.
Right,
so we don't have Kanye coming. Do you want Kanye to come and sing to you?
No.
This choir. Jesus walks. He's going to walk on your head when you're in hell, buddy. That's what he's going to be doing.
That's right.
Deuteronomy 7, let's look at some more abominations. Verse 25. The graven images of their gods shall ye burn with fire. Thou shalt not desire the silver or gold that is on them, nor take it unto thee, lest thou be snared therein. For it is an abomination to the Lord thy God. Idolatry, graven images, is abomination.
Amen.
That's why when we go in these neighborhoods and it's just like Mary statue after Mary statue after Mary statue, it's like, this is gross.
Yeah.
My kids are like, bad. You know, that's gross. They don't like it. I don't like it. It's disgusting.
Amen.
I don't care if it looks like a bear. I don't care if it looks like a dog. Oh, dogs are so precious. They're so wonderful. Then why do they stop me from getting people saved all the time?
Yeah.
It doesn't feel so precious to me.
Right.
And anybody that likes a cat, you're just weird. I don't know. They don't like you.
Amen.
They're so deceitful. Go to chapter 20. Go to chapter 20. But the idolatry today. Look, if you have graven images in your house, throw them in the trash.
Amen.
Yeah.
Why do you need that? Why are you worshiping that? You say, I'm not bowing down to it. Yeah, but you're admiring it. You're looking at it. Oh, that's so cool looking. Look at that little, you know, precious pit bull. He's so wonderful. No, he's a disgusting beast. He'll tear you apart.
Yeah.
This bear. You wouldn't want to go meet a bear in the woods. That thing would rip you in shreds. Why are you worshiping it? Why are you looking at it? Why can't you worship God? Why don't you do this, what God said, put the Bible on your walls.
Amen.
How about you admire that and look at that? Hey, why don't you put Leviticus 20:13 on your wall?
Amen.
God will be like, that's great.
Amen.
No, you got to put your little idol up there. He's like, that's disgusting. The Bible says you're cursed if you bring the cursed thing into your house.
Right.
I don't care if you bow down to that thing. It's still gross. Look at verse 18. That they teach you not to do after all their abominations, which they have done unto their gods, so should ye sin against the Lord your God. He's saying, look, this is what the heathen were like. They had their false gods brought into their house, and they are worshiping them. Don't be like them. Don't sin against God like that. Go back to chapter 4. We'll find out what a graven image is, what a idol is. Because some people say, you don't understand, Pastor Shelley. It's a Jesus fish. Well, where does it say that in the Bible? Jesus ate fish. I don't remember him, you know, carving them out. You know what Jesus did? He carved out a whip and he whipped people out of the house of God for buying and selling. And, you know, I've actually been in independent, fundamental Baptist churches where they're selling garbage and they literally have graven images on the table. called a nativity scene. It's still gross, my friend. And that's still not what Jesus looked like. I don't care what it is. And these weird dress-wearing wise men, that's not what they look like. And these shepherds, and it's like a queer factory that they pump out these nativity scenes. I don't want that. In the house of God, Jesus would flip that table over and whip you out. In a Baptist church. Deuteronomy 4, verse 16. Lest ye corrupt yourselves and make you a graven image, the similitude of any figure. The likeness of male or female. The likeness of any beast that is on the earth. The likeness of any winged fowl that flieth in the air. The likeness of anything that creepeth on the ground. The likeness of any fish that is in the waters beneath the earth. He's like, hey, that stupid bird, that stupid dove image you have, and that stupid fish, burn them. Throw them in the trash. Get rid of them. Why don't you worship God? Worship the Lord that made them. Look, I like looking at God's creation. It's beautiful. I don't have a problem going to the zoo. I don't have a problem going out in nature. But you know what? I'd rather look at God's creation. I'd rather look at a real bird. At a real fish and then eat it. At a real cow and eat it. It's not that great looking, but it tastes wonderful. Now look, if you want to, you know, get your kids a crayon and they can draw all kinds of, you know, dogs with their heads cut off, great, you know. Whatever you want to do. Deuteronomy 29. Or maybe you can just have them draw like the tasers and they just like and they just running. And then you can go to the door and get them saved. Now look. I grew up with dogs. I'm friendly to dogs. If you have a dog, I'm not against you, okay? They just make me angry because they hurt people. They stop soul winning so many times. Yeah. And if you have one of these beasts, keep them locked up. That's what we should do with the fags. Keep them locked up. Yeah. Go put them on Jeffrey Epstein's island. That's fine. We'll go nuke it. Deuteronomy 29, verse 17. And ye have seen their abominations and their idols, wood and stone, silver and gold, which were among them. Notice, he's saying their idols are abominations and they were among them. Even God's people would carry them. Rachel, hiding them under her bosom, hiding them under her bottom in the seat. Throw that in the trash, Rachel. Be like Jacob. And if you're a man, just take your wife's graven images and bury them. Get rid of them. Don't just sit there and be like, oh, but it's so precious. It's going to be precious when it's in the garbage. Go to 1 Kings chapter 11. 1 Kings chapter 11. Who do you want to make pleased today, God or your wife? I know which one I want pleased with me. But my uncle made that for me. I don't care. Well, my dad, it's Laban's. Burn it. Throw down that altar. Get rid of the graven image. Stop dwelling on things. Look, people that have all these graven images, you know what they do? Their heart starts being turned toward that beast. I see people, they have all these dog statues in their house. They have all these cat statues in their house. And they literally start worshiping animals over humans. Well, I mean, if I go to church, who's going to watch Fido in the morning? And who's going to feed Fido? I can't go to the conference because who's going to watch Fido? Who's going to take care of little Fifi, you know, where they're prancing? They feed it like steak sometimes. What a worthless, you know, use of a steak. The doctor's supposed to get the crumbs, my friend. But when you look at that, you start looking at them and valuing them more than they are, more than they're worth. And there's all these different breeds. There didn't used to be all these breeds. Why? Because people worship dogs. There's literally TV shows where they prance dogs around and worship them. You don't think they have graven image dogs in their house? Look, whatever you set up in your house, it's going to affect you. I got the big TV with the dog statues right on the side, and then the Disney Channel collection down below. For it came to pass when Solomon was old, look at verse 4, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. Then did Solomon build an high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, and the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burnt incense and sacrificed unto their gods. Well, I'd rather please my wife than God. Let's just build a child sacrifice station. We're talking about David, the man after God's own heart, the guy that killed Goliath. Look, if it can happen to him, it can happen to any of us. That's why you don't mess with the devil. That's why you don't mess with demonic things. That's why you don't bring the accursed abomination in your house. You cast it out.
That's right.
See, I don't like this preaching. Well, go somewhere else. Go to 2 Kings chapter 23. 2 Kings chapter 23. In 2 Kings 22, Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And you know what he did? He destroyed the abominations. You want to know where they came from? Look at verse number 7, 2 Kings 23, verse 7. And he brake down the houses of the Sodomites.
Amen.
That were by the house of the Lord, where the women wove hangings for the grove. Look, he said, this house has been defiled. Let's just burn it. That's what I think. Burn all those houses. I don't want to live in that. I mean, if I'm like on a contract at a house and I found out it's two fags living there, it's like, I'll lose the escrow. Or maybe I'll just buy it, burn it, rebuild. Yeah. That's disgusting, the things they do.
Yeah.
Verse 10, and he defiled Topheth, which is in the valley of the children of Hinnom, that no man might make his son or his daughter to pass through the fire to Molech. Burn every Planned Parenthood.
Yes.
Burn it to the ground. Destroy
yeah.
it.
Amen.
That's what God's people should be yelling.
That's right.
Not like, well, don't go in there. Look, we should be advocating nuking the places yeah. off the face of the map. Tearing the walls down, ripping the people out of there. Actually, let's get all of the doctors in the building first and then tear it down on top of them. And all the physician assistants and all the nurses' assistants and everybody that's there helping children get ripped apart every single day. You're disgusting if you think abortion is any kind of normal.
Yes.
Where does it come from? Sodomites. God haters. People who love the wages of unrighteousness. The Bible says in Jude that Balaam, he loved the wages of unrighteousness. These abortion doctors, they love getting paid to murder babies.
Yep. Right, yep.
You could not be more demonic. Yep. You could not be more filled with Satan than to literally want to kill babies. That's the attributes of the reprobates we see all throughout the Bible. Pharaoh, killing the babies. Herod, killing the baby. Why? Because Satan's moving them against children. Yep. And you know what? The devil is an agenda today to murder your children, to kill the innocent, to hurt the innocent. It's abominable.
Amen.
He wants to kill the children and then defile the children and just get rid of all the Christians. You know, in America, the abortions reported to the CDC as being legal from 1970 to 2015 have been 45.7 million. Some estimates say even a lot higher statistics than that. That's the ones that we just know of. 45 million babies. I mean, there's only like 8 million people in like this area. 45, that's like more than Texas. Texas is like 27 million. It's like two Texases just being wiped off the face of the map. Just every single day, just baby after baby after baby. How can God look at our nation and be thinking anything but vomit them out? That's why when you go to another country, they're like, America's gross. America's wicked. They don't look at it as the America, you know, the American pie, you know, red and white flag waving. Oh, it's just so wonderful. It's so great. I'm sorry to ruin your patriotism today, but look, America is the most filthy, disgusting nation on this planet.
Yeah, right.
Who's killing babies like this? Who has the sex trafficking that we do? Who has the sorceries and the witchcraft and the abominations and the fags and the pedophiles? And who's promoting it? And who's trying to turn the whole world into a pedophile ring? Oh, Donald Trump, your Republican that you voted for.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, if we get him back in office, you know, we don't have to worry about all this stuff. You're literally, you know, aiding this guy and turning the whole world into America. Go to Proverbs 6. The United States of abomination, my friend. It's filthy. It's disgusting.
Amen.
You say, where else would you live? I don't know. It's all disgusting.
Yeah.
I mean, God's just looking down. It's just like, He's going to pour out his wrath. Have you read Revelation? It's rough.
Yep.
It makes sense. You know what? It doesn't make sense if you've never read the Old Testament. You don't know what's filthy. You don't know what's disgusting. You don't know what's right. You don't know what's wrong. You know, you read a little bit further in the chapter, you find out that the children of Israel are supposed to go and wipe out these nations completely. And you're like, that sounds harsh. Sounds a lot less harsh when you start realizing what they're doing. The things that they're into. Look at Proverbs 6, verse 16. These six things that the Lord, notice this, hate. What's an abomination? Oh yeah, hatred with disgust. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look. What nation is more proud than America? I'm proud to be an American. I'm not. What are you proud of? Which one of the things that I list are you so proud of today? A lying tongue. That sounds like America. And hands that shed innocent blood. Oh, yeah, all those 45 million babies crying. Their blood spilled on the ground. And heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Feet that be swift and running to mischief. A false witness that speaketh lies. And he that soweth discord among brethren. Now, we've been talking about a lot of gross things. Did you know God put in the same category sowing seeds of discord? I mean, you keep looking at these, he's just like, oh, it's so disgusting, it's so filthy. That's how God feels about it when you go around and talking crap about people in the church.
Amen.
And talking crap about good Christians. And going around and gossiping and rumoring. Look, keep your mouth shut. So God doesn't look at you and say it's so abominable. He says he hates it with disgust. You know, I feel the same way. When I find out someone's been gossiping and rumoring about another person, I'm like, I hate that. That's disgusting. Why would you do such a thing? Look, we're supposed to be known for love. And you know, the devil's not going to destroy us with fags because we're built upon the rock and we're not letting him in the door. In fact, if we catch one in the house of God, you know, trying to hurt a child, we can use lethal force. And I'll always feel like that was necessary. Just to let you know. They're not going to destroy us with abortion. They're not going to destroy us with bestiality. They're not going to destroy us with these things. You know what God, you know what the devil's going to try and do? Destroy you with seeds of discord.
That's right.
He's going to try and fight you within. The devices of the devil to come in and to choke the word and to get people offended. Look, good godly people will decide to quit church this year because someone said something they didn't like. Did you see what he said or she did? Look, it's the device of the devil.
Yeah.
It's just sowing seeds of discord, trying to get people upset. Look, we ought to love one another. I love coming here. I don't care how weird you look. You're so much more normal than the world today. I don't care how awkward you are. You're like so much more normal. I ought to just love you. I don't care. You smell weird. Okay, whatever, you know. I'll be like, hey, you want to take a shower? You know, here's some gum. You know, I bought you a little love package. It's got some deodorant in there. You can put it on. Go to Jeremiah chapter 6. Look, we as God's people today, we have so many enemies. Please, please don't make enemies in the house of God. Amongst brethren. It's so great when brethren dwell in unity. You know, and there's going to be a time and place to purge scum. There's going to be a time and place to get wicked people out and toss them out. And, you know, God willing, every single time someone would do that, they'd repent and get right.
Amen.
But, you know, there's a lot of times where people say and do things that, you know, they're not going to get them kicked out of the church, but they just make the church awkward to come to. You know, I'm not going to police people's personal life. And you don't have to be friends with anybody. But you got to be friendly to every single person. You have to respect every single person. Jeremiah 6, verse 15, the Bible says, were they ashamed when they committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed. Neither could they blush. Therefore, they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Look, after a sermon like this, I feel ashamed of my nation. I feel ashamed to say I'm an American. But do you think the people walking out of Joel Osteen's church, oh, I feel ashamed. They can't even blush. They're going to go get an abortion this week. They're going to go watch Pinocchio again and Beauty and the Beast. And they're going to go hang out with their gay cousin and go shopping. I hate going shopping. That's where all the fags go. Look at chapter 7, verse 10. And come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations. Look, you go to these other churches like, oh, we're not under the law. We don't need to read Leviticus. It doesn't apply. It still applies, my friend. Oh, we're delivered to do all these abominations. No, you're not. God will spew you out. any nation that goes after this. Oh, let's think of some nations. Okay, how about Rome? Were they delivered to those abominations? Wiped out. Greece, wiped out. Pompeii, wiped out. I mean, just nation of Chaldeans, wiped out. Alexander the Great, wiped out. Oh, yeah, the Assyrians, wiped out. Oh, yeah, the Canaanites, wiped out. Oh, yeah, Sodom and Gomorrah, wiped out. Oh, yeah, the flood. That's kind of a big event. I feel like God didn't change. And then you read Revelation, it's like, hey, what's going to happen? Wiped out. Their heads are going to be baptized with fire. We need to start looking at America differently today. If you're just like, I just love everything that America has to offer, you're gross. I'm going to read a few more places, but go if you would to Deuteronomy 22. The Bible says a false balance is abomination to the Lord. We've got a lot of deceit and trickery in this nation. They that are forward heart are abomination to the Lord. Lying lips are abomination to the Lord. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. Look, Kanye West going and singing his heart out is abomination to God.
Amen.
You know what he likes? He likes it when you pray for fags to die. And he hates it when Kanye gets up and sings about Jesus. He doesn't believe in Jesus. He doesn't believe in the Bible. He's not of God. He's a wicked false prophet, that blasphemer. Oh, God, God's going to use my pride and arrogance for his glory by sending you to hell. That's the only thing he's going to do with you. Pride's an abomination. He has hatred with disgust for you, Kanye, before and after your supposed conversion. He just wanted to put on the Christian label because he was not making any money being a sucky artist. Oh, I'm the best artist ever. Get out of here. What about David? What about Asaph? These guys were probably pretty good, I think. Oh, the greatest artist ever. Then how come you can't even sing? You just stand there and just rhyme with incoherent words. They're not even words. You just make up words.
Right.
You're just a fool. You probably couldn't even pass, you know, the 10th grade.
The greatest artist ever.
Proverbs 15 says, the thoughts of the wicked are abomination of the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant words. Everyone that is proud in heart is abomination to the Lord. Though they join hand in hand and worship Kanye, it's abomination.
Yeah.
Now, we've been kind of picking on the world. Let's pick on some other people. Let's pick on the people in the room. Deuteronomy 22, verse 5, the woman shall not wear that which pertained to them to a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God. Amen. God said, gender bending is gross.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's hatred with disgust. Why did God's people do it today? I mean, we just read all the other abominations, and he's lumping this one in there too. Look, the gender bending is disgusting. It's gross. A woman putting on pants, it's gross. It's abominable. Just like me standing up here in a pink flowing skirt. You say, well, that just sounds more gross. That's just because you're defiled. If you'd never seen a woman wear pants, like just 50 years ago, and then all of a sudden you see one of these queer, you know, lesbian dykes putting them on, you'd be like, that's gross.
Right.
And you know who started it? Them.
Yeah.
And what's the difference between men and women's pants today? How tight they are. Now it's just leggings. I mean, you go to the mall, it's just women just wearing leggings and a shirt. You're naked.
Yeah.
And look, I don't think leggings are pants. Put a skirt on top of it.
Yeah.
Okay? But you're naked. It's disgusting. People are just literally naked everywhere. Our whole nation is just naked and disgusting and gross and filthy and perverted. It's abomination.
Amen.
People are going to church like that. Please, if there's ever been a time to dress like a normal person, can it be now? Can it be God's house? Can people look at our church and be like, wow, there's men and women walking in the building. They're not just like, what is all that? What is that thing going in there? That's what I think when I look out there.
Yeah.
Can I only think that about there? Can we at least have the distinctions? I mean, God says it's an abomination. And look, our nation has gone wholeheartedly after this. Look, there's plenty of nations that are not defiled like this. Go to Jamaica. You know, Jamaica, the women there wear dresses and skirts. They look like women. They have long hair. Go to other nations. Go to Africa, where they actually put fags to death. Yeah, it still happens. In Uganda, they put fags to death. You know, their men look like men and their women look like women. And they look at us and they say, y'all are freaks. Y'all are disgusting. Y'all are abominable. Look, why? Because they haven't been watching so much Disney. They don't even have, they're like, they're trying to get food. They're not like, TV. It's like, what? But America's doing its best to pump in as many TVs and as much Disney and everything it can over there. Go to Proverbs 28, Proverbs 28. You say, why preach a sermon like this, Pastor Shelley? Look, there's a time to preach the love of God. There's a time to preach encouraging messages. There's a lot of encouragement in the Bible. But you know, when you read the context of almost every encouraging verse, you know it's always coupled with persecution for being godly. Yeah. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me.
Amen.
That's such a wonderful verse. But you know, before that, it's all talking about being persecuted for the cause of Christ, being thrown in jail for wanting to follow God's commandments, for going out and preaching the gospel.
Right.
You know, it's going to be really encouraging when our nation continues on the path that it is, and some of us are being thrown in jail, and some of us are being heavily persecuted by our own family members, and our nation's getting even more filthy and disgusting, and there's more protesters, and the government's attacking our church, and we can say, hey, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me.
Amen.
But you know what? You can't just apply that verse to you looking like a freak, to sin, to wickedness. That's what Joel Osteen wants to do today.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, I know, I'm trying to make a bunch of money, and, you know, I had a down season this year, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Look, it's not in the context of covetousness, my friend.
Yeah.
It's not in the context of, I can drive that Ferrari, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can suffer eating chicken this meal instead of beef. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Look, it's about persecution.
Yeah. Right.
And you say, why would you be persecuted, Pastor Shelley? Because you actually believe Leviticus.
Yeah, right.
Because you actually listened to the sermon, you liked it. Because you showed up to the fire-breathing Baptist fellowship.
Amen.
Because
Amen.
You go to a Baptist church. Because you're godly.
Yeah.
Amen. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Look, it's coming, my friend. And there's plenty of places on this planet where people get a lot of encouragement for Philippians today. There's nations, you can't even read the Bible in certain countries today. You can't go soul winning. You can't believe this word. They're being killed and sawn asunder and torn apart. We in Pleasure Island over here, thinking that everything's so great and wonderful, we're disillusioned. You don't even know what's up and down anymore. You need to throw that TV in the trash and start reading your Bible and realizing how filthy and disgusting we are. How apathetic we are. You say, how do you get that way? Pride, fullness of bread. What was that? Oh, that was the sin of Sodom. Why did Rome get so bad? Oh, pride, fullness of bread. Why did Greece get that way? Pride, fullness of bread. Why? It always happens. What happened to the Canaanites? They're living in the land of milk and honey. They're eating the grapes of Eshcol. There's giants. Nobody wants to come and evade them. They're so prideful, and they're so full of bread, and then they do all those filthy abominations. Why is America doing it? Nobody struggles to eat in this nation. If you want food, you can have it. Why is every homeless person on the street corner overweight? You know, you're not overweight because you're not eating enough. It's impossible. It's a fraud. You know, true starving people look like they've never eaten. You can see bones. You can see like all kinds of stuff. They have a 6-pack. They have like a 12-pack, you know, going on. It's crazy. That's real starvation. Nobody's starving in this nation. No one. Unless they're just a child that their parents are neglecting or something. But most kids I see look huge. It looks like they need to lay off the Big Mac. Look at Proverbs 28, verse 9. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. Well, I don't like the book of Leviticus. I don't like this church. I'm going to go somewhere else. And then when my kid's sick, I'm going to pray. God says that's abomination. I don't like the King James Bible. I like the NIV. Now your prayers are abomination. I don't like Steadfast Baptist Church. I want to go to Gateway. Now your prayer is an abomination.
I don't
want to go to church. I just want to watch YouTube. All the people tuning in, I don't really want to go to church. I'm just going to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. I'm going to turn away my ear from hearing God's law. I'm not going to go. Hey, you're an abomination. Your prayer's abomination. God doesn't like it. You say, why do I need to go to church, Pastor Shelley? Let me tell you why you need to go to church every time the doors are open. Because whenever you're thumbing through Facebook or YouTube, you say, oh, Ezra chapter 4? I don't really want that one. Leviticus? Nah, I don't want that one. You just like Big Mac, yeah, drumstick, yeah. You need to go to church and hear messages you didn't want to hear. You need to actually hear things that don't feel good, that don't sound pleasant to the ears, that sting a little bit, that tingle, that make you feel a little uncomfortable. Like, is Pastor looking at me? What's going on? Is he talking about me? Probably. I mean, why get up here and preach if it's not for you guys? The Bible says, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but at their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. And all their prayers are abomination. We've been learning about what an abomination is today. How many prayers are going up in America today that are abomination? How many Christians today are getting on their knees and they're praying for that Ferrari and praying for that promotion and praying for, you know, all the covetousness that they could possibly wish and want for, and God's just like, stop! You know, if you want to get me really angry or you see me like kind of lose my temper, it's when the kids are just like, you know, asking the same question over and over. Where are we going to eat? Where are we going to eat? I want to go to Chick-fil-A. 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 You're just like, ah! That's what God's like. When we're just sitting here just asking, he's like, I already told you where we're going. We're going home, we're eating broccoli. And I engraved Leviticus on it, all right? You know, you see that meme about In-N-Out Burger having Leviticus on the cup? It's a fake. I wish it was there, you know? We're going to put on the broccoli. No, I'm just kidding. Go to Genesis chapter 43. I have a few more things I want to look at. You have to understand that when you love the Word of God and you're going to be godly, the world hates you. And you need to hate the world. I don't know how you can like any of the stuff I read this morning. Genesis 43, verse 32 says, and they set on him for him by himself, and for them by themselves, and for the Egyptians, which did eat with him by themselves, because the Egyptians might not eat bread with the Hebrews, for that is an abomination unto the Egyptians. Notice that the Egyptians would not eat with Hebrews because it was an abomination to them. Egyptians represent the world. The world hates true godly Christians. Look at chapter 46. Chapter 46. Look at verse 34. And that is the first mention of abomination in your Bible. He's saying, hey, the ungodly hate the righteous. Didn't we read that in Proverbs? Yeah, we did. So it doesn't shock me when we have a bunch of freaks out here that hate me. That actually sounds like I'm trying to do some things that are right. Look at verse 34. That ye shall say, thy servant's trade hath been about cattle from our youth even until now, both we and also our fathers, that ye may dwell in the land of Goshen. For every shepherd is an abomination unto the Egyptians. Not only do they hate every one of you, they hate me a lot. They hate godly pastors. The world despises them. It wants to get rid of them. It wants to throw them in the trash. That's why you constantly read about the prophets in danger for their lives. Because they hate God's word. And look, it's not me. I could have the most wonderful personality. I could be the nicest person on the planet, and they would still hate me. And look, some of you guys are some of the most wonderful people I've ever met. Some of those gracious, kind, loving people that I know, and they hate you. It's not you. They hate the Bible. They hate God's word. I said, hey, why are you protesting our church? Because we believe the Bible. Because the Bible's fairy tales. Because I'm teaching lies from the Bible. Look, it's not me. People want to get all, oh, it's that pastor. That pastor is hateful. That pastor, you know, he gets up and screams and blah, blah, blah. No, it's this that they're mad at, my friend.
That's right.
They're mad that I don't just rip the whole Old Testament out and write my own Bible like Thomas Jefferson, where he takes out all the miracles and the negative parts, the reprobate. Yeah. Oh, the Constitution's so great. Well, why did reprobates write it? Go to 2 Corinthians 6. You know, the Bible says, he that saith unto the wicked, thou art righteous, him shall the people curse. Nations shall abhor him. But them that rebuke him shall be delight, and a good blessing shall come upon them. Look, everybody that looks at Donald Trump and says, he's so righteous, that's gross. He's so much better than Hillary Clinton. How? I mean, comparing reprobates is just like, throw them all in the trash. Like, I don't care. They're all disgusting. They're all filthy. They're so filthy that you can't distinguish them between one another, in my opinion. Everything that goes in the toilet is filthy. I'm not going to distinguish between it. It's all just going flush down. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them, and walk in them, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. The Bible teaches separation.
Yeah.
You say, what's the point of the sermon, Pastor Shelley? I want you to realize how disgusting that is, how filthy and unclean that is, so that you stop touching it. Stop bringing it into your house. Stop playing around with it. Stop pretending like it's cool. Stop watching Modern Family. It's gross. Just stop watching TV. Stop listening to the music. Stop dressing like them. Stop being like them. Be like a godly Christian. Come in here and let iron sharpen iron today. We ought, as a Baptist church, say, here's how we ought to behave. I don't care how weird it gets out there. And look, it's going to get weirder. It's going to get filthier. It's going to get more disgusting. If you can't separate now, I'm afraid you might get flushed down the toilet with them. Go to Mark chapter 8. And John 17, the last two places I'll have you turn. James 4 says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. How can you like America today? How can you want to be like the world today? How can you want to celebrate and embrace the things of the world today? You're an enemy of God.
That's right.
You're abomination. Why? Because all the perversion, because of all the unclean beasts, that guy out there, idolatry, the abortion, the gender bending, the rejection of God's word. That's a hard one. People, they just don't like the Bible. They don't want to hear it. Yet they still want to offer prayers up. You need to actually apply the biblical preaching. You need to get into a church and hear the sermons you don't like and apply that too. So God can hear your prayers. So we can actually make a difference in this nation. You know, there's going to be some tough times coming up in the future. And I want as many people's prayers to actually mean something that they can. But we have to come out from among the world. We can't just turn our ears from hearing the law. We can't just pick and choose the Christianity we want. We can't just be a YouTube playlist. No, we need all of it. Genesis to Revelation. Mark chapter 8, verse 38 says, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Do you want to really meet Jesus Christ in the air with, you know, American flag wrapped around you and the DVD, the Disney collection in your left hand? I don't. John chapter 17, the last place we'll look. Look at verse 14. I have given them thy word, And the world hath loved them so much. The world just appreciates them. The world thinks they're great. The world gave them a 5-star Google review. No, the world hath hated them because they are not of the world. You know the reason why the world will hate you? Because you're not like them.
Yeah.
You know why they like Kanye? Because he's just like them.
Yeah.
You know why they like Joel Osteen? Because he's just like them. You know why they like Gateway Church? Because it's just like them.
Yeah.
There's no difference anymore. You know, when I walk out and I look at the Christians so-called in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, it's funny because they all just look like the world.
Yeah.
They do the same things as the world. They're acting, behaving like the world. They're dressing like the world. They talk like the world.
Yeah.
There's no difference. There's no distinction. And in fact, many times, you know, just atheists seemingly more godly.
Yeah.
They have more righteousness sometimes. They're not dressed as weird and freaky as some of these Christians. I mean, there's like this weird effeminizing movement in most Christian churches today.
Yeah.
I see just normal men that have nothing to do with church dressing more manly than these queer effeminate sissies. He says in verse 15, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. How am I going to get cleaned up, Pastor Shelley? You get cleaned up from this book.
Amen.
You get cleaned up by coming into church and washing your disgusting, filthy hands. Quit touching the unclean thing. Stop loving the United States of abomination and love God's word.
Yeah.
Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Father, so much for your word. Thank you for your commandments. Thank you for letting us learn what's clean and unclean so we can stop touching filthy, disgusting things. So we can stop getting sick and diseased and, you know, ruining our spiritual lives. I pray that we would not turn our ears from hearing the law, but rather we would embrace thy commandments, that you could continue to sanctify us through thy truth, that we could love thy word and hate anything that would come against it. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.